It's going to be a hope night. We're going to talk about hope. And, yay. Thank you, Jesus, for hope. Are you ready? Let's go ahead and we're going to watch a quick video. Then we'll go on.
I've got some bad, bad news for you. You are being brainwashed. And the reason why I say this is because everything that you see, hear, and read is influencing the way that you think. Now, if you watch the news, you might think that humans are getting worse, it's getting less and less safe, and everything's getting more dangerous. But nothing can be further from the truth. A Harvard professor actually did a study and found out that this is the safest time to be alive as a human. To give you some statistics from the Bureau of Justice and from the FBI's website, since 1993, firearm homicides have dropped 39%. Non-fatal firearm accidents have gone down 69%. Now, if you watch the news, you'd think the exact opposite of that. You'd think that it's getting worse, right? Now, let's talk about the rest of the world. Is the rest of the world getting safer? It absolutely is. The amount of deaths per year per capita from war across the world is 1/12 of what it was in the 1950s. This is the safest time to be alive as a human. Now, you might ask yourself, why would the news concentrate on so much negativity if the world is actually getting better? And the reason why is because they understand the way your brain works. Your brain is designed to look for the negative. And the reason why is because your brain wants you to stay alive. So it focuses on the negative. So if the news puts out more and more negative, you're more likely to watch. Your brain is going to get addicted to watching that negativity, which in turn turns into more advertising dollars for the news company that you're watching. So of course it seems more negative. Of course it seems like the world is getting worse, but there has never been a time where it's been more safe to be a human than right now. So what can you take from this? Instead of watching the news and thinking that the world is negative and allowing them to brainwash you, you can brainwash yourself. You can start reading books. You can watch motivational or instructional or educational stuff on YouTube. You can listen to podcasts. Because here's the deal. No matter what you listen to or watch or read, it's going to brainwash you. So why don't you brainwash yourself with something that's going to be beneficial for you versus what the media continues to feed you? Because if you continue to eat what they feed you, you have to deal with the sickness that's going to happen in your mind.
Isn't that interesting? Pretty crazy. Within the month. It's pretty crazy, though, what we would think. I mean, I can look around and see, yeah, things are changed. But even just, man, with the world of Facebook, it's so much easier, even more so, just to see negative all the time. And I thought it was interesting when he said that. Just it's built in us. It's a survival instinct, is to pay more attention to when something is negative. So we want to know what to avoid or what, you know, not to do that. That's bad. Like hoverboards, maybe. Yeah. Like, no, it's okay. Hey, it's okay. I mean, it's their church too. So, but that's pretty crazy. So we will. Well, even all in all, and he gave some ideas at the end of it. What can you do? You know, podcasts. You know, don't always watch negative news. And we'll talk about a few more things later. But there is always something negative that's going to be loud in your life. There will always be opportunity for that. Now, obviously, there are times we need to hear negative. You need to watch the news for some things, sure. But you don't have to leave it on scroll 24 hours a day and just sit in front of whatever, CNN or Fox News or MSNBC and all that stuff, and just let it continually feed you all day long. It's whether you enjoy it or not, it's feeding you. Whether you realize it or not, it's feeding you. No matter what I'm watching all day long, no matter what I'm putting in my brain all day long, it's brainwashing me. So we're basically going to be talking about, if it's not feeding you hope, turn it off. So that's going to be the basis for tonight. If it's not feeding you hope, turn it off. Of course, it goes way beyond television, relationships, your own thoughts, sure, TV, shows, radios, programs, comedy. There's some funny stuff out there. But if it's YouTube, yes, all that stuff. Huh? Conversations, absolutely. If it's not feeding you hope, turn it off. in a Jesus way if it's involving another person. Although, hey, he went around with a whip and took care of some things he needed to turn off, though. So, you know, be wise. negativity is addicting. You know, that's one thing, too. I think it's easy for gossip. It's easy to gossip. It's hard. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to act like I'm completely holy. I'm just going to blame it on my family and because they're large and like to talk about each other. I'm just kidding, kind of, not really at all. And so, well, you know, but they are all amazing and awesome. But it's like, man, when you get, you're like, you hear something, what you should do is what just kind of like, okay, we don't really talk about that, or that's really none of my business. But we're still like, are you serious? Like, tell me some more. Like, what did just happen? Or like, if you hear a conversation in another room, you're like, wait, hold on, shh. You know? But why? Because negativity is addicting. It's addicting. Just like anything else you feed yourself with, you're going to crave what you eat. That's just reality. What you constantly feed yourself with, you eventually will crave. It takes 3 weeks to create a habit. Did y'all know that? 3 weeks. It takes, for me, way longer to break one. I don't know what the statistic is on that, but it feels like longer than 3 weeks. Oh, yeah. Oh, it doesn't feel the truth for me, for sure. But it says 3 consistent, absolute, like, stay in the regimen weeks will create, will just turn it into a habit. You'll be doing it without even realizing it. Gossip or, do you ever, again, it may just be completely my non-holiness, but do you ever find out something negative about somebody or bad about somebody or, I guess that's we'll just say that, bad about somebody and you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta tell this person. And like I said, I'm totally talking to myself. Or just store it. So then when you hear something about them, you're like, well, what I heard was, you know what I mean? Why is it easy? Because it's addicting. Negativity is addicting. But that, we'll find that all through the word, though. That's the reality of it. We, you know, when you are constantly, what, bad company corrupts what? Good morals. So I can be the most straightforward, the holiest, the best pastor in all the land or whatever. But bad company will corrupt the good morals. It doesn't mean hanging out with people or loving on them and rubbing shoulders with people like that's going to turn me into a sinner. That's not what that means. But when I constantly invade myself with their atmosphere and I constantly let their negativity into my mindset, it's going to happen. Man, I watched a sermon earlier this week from Todd White. Y'all know who that guy is? He's got the super long dreads, but he's a white guy. He was at a conference in Dallas this week, and he was speaking, and he said, never let sin done to you cause sin to come from within you. Never let sin done to you cause sin to come from within you. More or less, that's pretty much was the line. You know, people can say things about me all day long. They can talk about me all day long to whoever or to my face. Do whatever they need to do. Do whatever they feel like they need to say about me or take care of or whatever. Trash me, bash me, all that. But I can never allow the sin done to me to allow that to come up out of me. Don't ever do that. And that, man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I have thought, man, there's so much stuff recently that I have completely let that happen in my life. Maybe a negative thing said about me, and instead of just praying for a certain person or praying for a certain situation, I would completely echo that and say something negative back or not pray for a person that really needs Jesus. Let the sin come right out of me, like puke, instead of just, man, God, Jesus bless them. Jesus bless them. So survival instincts make us shift our focus. We take our focus away from the positive. We begin to long for the negative. So here's the thing. So it's a survival instinct. Let's begin to look for the Holy Ghost instinct. What's the Holy Ghost instinct? What's he telling me to do in this moment? What does he want from me in this moment? What is that? We're gonna do that the best with everything in our life if we constantly, 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 constantly have hope. We must have hope. I must fill my mind with hope. I must fill my attitude with hope. I must fill my mouth with hope. I must fill my ears with hope. I must have hope. So I looked up hope because that's what you do when you're doing a message. And it turned into my whole message. Hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation. Or to want something to happen, which we kind of think that, but here's the main thing. To desire with expectation. To desire with expectation. Hope does not mean to want something to happen. That is not hope. Or else everywhere it said, it would, you know, Jesus would have said that a want is an anchor for our soul. A desire is an anchor for our soul. Hope is a want with an expectation. So when I hope something for somebody, or I'm hoping for something to happen, or I don't just say, well, I hope so. Well, what that means is, okay, yeah, you want it to happen, but you're also walking in expectancy. You want it to happen, and you expect it to happen. So have you ever, I know I have had, I've probably done this too, but it's one of my pet peeves when somebody's like, I guess I didn't really ever get why, but it kind of made sense to me looking at this stuff. When somebody's like, is this going to happen or whatever? And then you say, well, you know, I hope. But then they'll be like, no, don't say you hope, say it will. Well, they obviously don't know what hope means, because that's what, I don't know why that's always kind of bugged me. But that's a good thing. If somebody says, I hope, well, that means, yeah, they want it, but they're also expecting it to happen. Don't correct somebody for saying that. Or if you just feel like they're completely doing it wrong or saying it wrong, say, well, hey, did you know? All right. Well, that means you're expecting it. Do it that way. Don't be like, well, don't say you hope. Yes, say you hope. Say you hope. Say you hope. Hope is a want to with an expectancy. I don't just want that to hope it happen for you. I hope that happens for you. You understand the difference? I don't just have a desire out just flailing around that you'll be blessed in your life, Miss Nancy. I want that for you. No, I hope for you to be super blessed in your life. And yeah, I want that to happen for you, but I know it's going to happen. In fact, I'm waiting, Jesus. I expect it to happen. That's hope. Does anybody know what the absolute opposite of hope is? The complete antonym. I figured it'd be despair. I figured it'd just be negativity. It's doubt. According to Merriam-Webster, it's doubt. Here's the definition of doubt. To call into question the truth of. Yeah. Especially later when we start talking about some more verses and stuff. Yeah, exactly. To call into question the truth of. So Hebrews 6:19, everybody knows this one. I'm going to read it in the Passion. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God Himself. We have this certain hope, like a strong, unbreakable anchor, holding our souls to God Himself. Now, in this verse in Hebrews, when it's talking about that, they're talking about God's promises to Abraham earlier, and he's saying, you know, what God promised Abraham, and he's going to fulfill that, but he tells Abraham, yes, those promises are true, but God, it says, having no one to swear to greater than himself, God had no one bigger, he swore to his own integrity. That's the word used in the Passion Translation. I thought it was really cool. Instead of he swore to himself, you know, he swore to his own name. He swore to his own integrity. And God is a God that what? He cannot lie. We know those two things is what it says. He cannot lie. So now let's think about that. Let's read it again. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God Himself. Why? Because God Himself cannot lie. So we have this desire with an expectation for things, for those promises he has over our life, a desire, a want with an expectation, and it's a strong, unbreakable anchor. Why? Because it's attached to God himself. This is our hope. This is our hope. It's not just some fleeting thing. And man, especially those verses, and man, even me, I just go and kind of still in this anchor phase. It's like, man, I was just holding on to hope. Yeah, I love anchors. Why? Because, well, this is, it's like anchor for our soul. Yay, hope. And I'm just hoping for good things, hoping for good things in my life. But man, a year or so ago, I don't remember, a year and a half ago, I had wants for things in my life, but I didn't have a lot of expectancy. I had sadness with that, with whatever, you know, different situations, but there wasn't much expectancy that things would actually change or things would actually be different. It was a lot of want to and a lot of crying to Jesus about it, but not much expectancy. So that wasn't hope. It was just want. See, hope for me would have been saying, Jesus, I really want this, but I also really know you're going to do it. I really know you're going to do it. Why? Because your promises are true and you cannot lie. And that my expectancy is what ties myself to God himself. My expectancy, my want and my expectancy is anchored to God himself. No hope, don't give it the time of day. No time of day. If it's not giving you hope, don't give it the time. There is no verse that says surround yourself with people that suck the life out of you. There is no verse. There's no translation that says we must do that. If that does say that in your Bible, throw it away. It's not a good translation. You do not have to do that. Do we need to love them? Absolutely. Do we need to bless them? Absolutely. Do we need to pray for them? Absolutely. Do we need to be nice to them? Yes. Absolutely. But we don't have to surround ourselves with them and allow us to suck us dry. If it's not feeding you hope, turn it off. Everybody say that. If it's not feeding me hope, turn it off. If it's not feeding you hope, turn it off. All right, everybody turn to Romans 5 if you have your Bibles. I'm also going to read this in the Passion Translation. Romans 5, we'll start in verse 2. Okay, this is good stuff. Our faith guarantees us access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Okay, now I'm going to read that again, but first one, what is it? Oh, Hebrews 11:1. I should know that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What's the substance of things hoped for? That makes sense. It's faith. Oh, okay, sure, Jesus. Well, especially makes sense since what's a hope? Things that I expect. Well, what is expectation? What if I believe something's going to happen I don't have yet? What do I have? I have faith. I have faith that it's going to happen. So maybe this is all light bulbed for you years ago, but lots of things light bulbed for me. That was like, oh yeah, that's why it's the substance of things hoped for. Because it's an expectancy. It's not just a want. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith is the substance. What makes up the very idea of me saying, okay, I want that, and I will have that. What? Faith makes it up. It's every single particle in that. It makes it up. It literally builds it. It's the substance of things hoped for. So now we're going to read this again with more excitement. because we get it now. Our faith guarantees us access into this marvelous kindness. Or our faith, remember, that's the substance of things we hope for, guarantees us access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. As we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We're going to do the second video. So, I had this picture, this word picture today, and here's what it is. I just saw the Holy Ghost walking down a street, and it's cheesy, but it's just what I felt. It's just called Freedom Way. Freedom Way. He's walking. Just walking, strolling. There's people all around him rubbing shoulders with him. I could just see him like just leaning over, whispering something in somebody's ear, and high-fiving, all kinds of stuff. Walking down Freedom Way, just Main Street. There's shops and everything, stores all along, doors and everything. And that's what he was doing. He was just helping people out. Well, I came across this video, and it was, it's very short. And we'll probably play it a couple of times, but it rocked my world. And we'll watch it now. Make sure it's loud enough.
No way. I'm gonna get you out of here. I promise you, I'm gonna get you out of there. You don't belong in there. I'm gonna get you out. I'm gonna get you out of there. I'm gonna do everything it takes to make sure you get out of there. You don't belong in there.
Play it again.
No way. I'm gonna get you out of here. I promise you, I'm gonna get you out of there. You don't belong in there. I'm gonna get you out. I'm gonna get you out of there. I'm gonna do everything it takes to make sure you get out of there. You don't belong in there.
The title of that video is When the Holy Spirit Sees You. And it floored me, because I think, okay, I'm walking down Freedom Way, and the Holy Ghost sees me all of a sudden trapped in this room. And that is exactly what he does to me. He says, I'm going to get you out of there. In fact, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes. You don't belong in there. The door's locked? No. We're supposed to be walking hand in hand down Freedom Way. I'm supposed to be able to whisper to you. You're not supposed to be stuck there. So along all these stores, I just started seeing depression. And people inside. And him down there going, no, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you out of there. And then another door further with alcoholism. And another door further with drug addicts. And another door further with lust. Another door further that said, just said perversion. And people trapped inside. And he's saying, no, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you out of there. You don't belong in there. You don't belong in there. You're supposed to be out here with me walking Freedom Way. You don't belong in there. It may not feel good, because I'm telling you, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And man, has he done that with me sometimes. Yeah, man, not going to let you sleep that night. Yeah, I'm going to make you toss and turn. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you out of that bed. Come have a few minutes with me, because I need to tell you something that's going to change the rest of your life. But what do we do sometimes? No, man, I just want to sleep, Jesus. I don't know if that's you or not, but he's like, no, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Watch out, it might hurt a little bit because I'm going to bust down some glass. I'm going to break down this door. Move. I'm going to get you out of there. That's what Jesus died for. It says right here. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy. This picture is not a disappointing fantasy. This hope, it's truth. It's a truth. Freedom Way is truth. It's not a disappointing fantasy because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. It's not a disappointing fantasy. He died for that. And he's just walking down the street saying, no, I died so you don't have to be locked in there. That's the reason I died. No, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to shake you. I'm going to stir you. If I need to convict you, that's what I'm going to do. If I need to send the most annoying Christians into your life that won't leave you alone until you bust out with me, I will do that. Because you don't belong in there. I will do whatever it takes to pull you out. I don't want you in there. I died so you don't have to be. But you see what else happens? It's not just the ones that are in there going, I don't want to be in here. I don't want to be in here. It's not just those. Some of them, yes, some of them don't know. They don't even realize they're trapped in there. And that was actually a few comments on this thing, was people turning it around and saying, okay, I get it, that's like the Holy Ghost, but maybe that cat was just like, hey, this is my home. Like, what are you talking about? Huh? Yeah, absolutely. Exactly, I don't need to be rescued. So what do? We paint the walls and make it my home. Just walk away. That's exactly what it did. Turned around. I like my new painting here. I like the rug I laid down. It feels good. It's comfortable. It's safe. You see all those people out on Freedom Way? They're not sheltered. That's their perspective. Exactly. You see, in here, I may not be completely free. I may not be able to stretch my legs out and stretch my arms out how God you want me to, but I'm good. I'm comfortable. I know what will happen at the end of my day. And I know what will happen when I wake up in the morning. It may be a routine that I don't always like, and it may not get me very far in life, but hey, I know it. I'm comfortable with it. I've painted the walls. I've picked out the carpet. But he's out there saying, no. And even those that may not get it, that may not want to get it, are mad at him, so they've locked themselves in there, he still says, I'm gonna do whatever it takes. You don't belong in there. I'm never gonna stop. You don't belong in there. So have hope. Have hope. If he can take away, the enemy can take away my hope, then I have doubt. And when I have doubt, I question everything that is this. The truth. See, if he can take away my hope, then it makes me say, I don't know, God. You're usually pretty good for me here. I'm going to give you that, okay? You always take care of my family. We always eat. We're good. You know, I've been asking you for this for years. I don't really have hope anymore. I have doubt then. And when I have doubt, I question the truth of who he is. Jesus. And that don't feel good. I know that don't feel good. It didn't feel good for me a couple hours ago. It hurts, but what is it? He does everything it will take to get me out. He doesn't want me to have the pain. He doesn't want me to hurt. But more than that, he's not worrying as much as my comfort as he is my walking in destiny. It's not as important to him. He would rather me be free and walk where he can whisper to me all day long, all throughout the day. Do people hear God's voice that are in sin? Sure. Yeah, they can. How do you think pastors are still able to deliver a good message and having an affair? It's the way the anointing goes. It's irrevocable. But God's still screaming at that door. Amen. Saying, hey, you don't belong in there. I died so you don't have to be trapped in there. You're free. You're free now. You're free. So since we're free, we have hope. And since we have hope, we can believe him and expect it to be true. Experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who screams inside of us, who yells from within us, who burns from within us. Do it. Do it. I made you for that. Do it. Do it. Not even just talking about sin. I'm talking about sitting on your gift. Those things I talked about last week about the shelf and keeping them in storage. It's not a waste when we throw them in the trash can. Why, right? It was a waste when we put it on the shelf and never used it. I can have a house full of goodies, but if I'm not using them, then what they're for, they're wasted. Goody. What incredible joy bursts forth within us when we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. That right there is the key. I get it, Jamie. It all sounds good. It's been years. Eventually, I'm going to be too old for this promise. Eventually, my voice will give out and I won't be able to do that. Eventually, my age will pass when I can't do that. I want to get married while I'm young. I want to have a kid now. I want my bills paid now. I understand that. I understand that he's my provider. I know, but man. So what was the key? We keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating. What incredible joy bursts forth as we keep on celebrating. What incredible joy bursts forth as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. What is God's glory? His promise is fulfilled for me. So how do I get joy in that, in this moment of just hope? Okay, yeah, I'm gonna say that I even am hoping. I'm not wanting. I am wanting and I am expecting. Well, how do I keep the faith in that? You keep on celebrating. Keep on celebrating constantly. Overfill yourself. Overeat. Indulge on hope. Indulge on hope. Get fat on it. Always, always, always instill it. Find those promises. Find those verses that just bathe it. And just increase that appetite for it and make you want it more. Find those books that are about that. Find those blogs that are about that. Listen to those podcasts that are about that. Even watch movies that are about that. Just bathe it. Constantly celebrate that in your life. Constantly celebrate his goodness. Constantly celebrate. That's what the word says. Even on the days, especially on the days you don't feel like it. I'm just not feeling it. It's okay. Fake it. Because God's word is true. And if I don't feel like it's true for me, when I say it out loud, I just spoke truth. So even when I don't feel like it, speak his promises, because it's truth, whether you believe it or not. In that moment, it's still truth. It's still truth, and nothing can take that away. It's still truth. What did he speak over your life? What has he asked you to do? What does he want for you to do? What ideas has he given you? You've shelved. What desires has he given you? You're wanting to shelve. Or maybe ask yourself, maybe I missed you, God. The goodness of our Father says that he gives us the desires of our hearts. And I believe that I have a nice Jesus. And I don't think that my Jesus is cruel. I don't think he's mean. I trust him. So I believe if those desires are in my heart, the kind of desires that are always in my mind, the desires that line up with the word, it's not sin. You know what I'm talking about. Those things that burn within me. I don't believe we have a Jesus that does that without substance. It's for a reason. So as much as I can encourage you, have hope. Have hope for whatever that is. Constantly celebrate his goodness. Constantly celebrate our hope of experiencing God's glory. And that is experiencing his promises. If you want prayer, you can come up here. We're going to pray. Everybody stand. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we trust you. Holy Ghost, I thank you. As much as I hate it, or in a moment I don't want it, or I don't feel like it, and I want you just to hush and go away. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you see us in those places where we've trapped ourselves or been trapped by some other circumstance. But you desire for us to walk in freedom and to walk in newness and to walk in life and to walk victoriously and to walk in power and to walk with you, Jesus. Thank you that you get down on your knees and you look at us in our eyes and you say no. You say no. You say, I don't want you there. And I don't just not want you there. I am proactive and I'm going to do what it takes to get you out of there. I won't stop until you're out of there because you don't belong in there. Thank you, Father, that you see us in those moments and your desire is to pull us out of those places. Your desire is to have your way in us. Your desire is for us to be free and to walk into freedom and to live in freedom and experience it in every area of our life. Jesus, I just speak freedom over everyone here. God, I ask you to have your way in the lives of everyone here, in every relationship, in every circumstance, in every physical body that has health issues. Jesus, thank you that you are pulling us out of those rooms. You are pulling us out of there where we don't belong, and you are placing us where we do belong, hand in hand with you. Jesus, we walk with you and we trust you. Thank you that you have your way in our lives. Thank you that you are having your way in this moment. Jesus, speak what you need to speak. Say what you need to say. God, we trust you. We trust you. Jesus, I trust you. Just simply say that to him. Jesus, I trust you and I have hope. Remove doubt. Remove doubt. Jesus, I don't want to question your truth. I don't want to call to question your truth. I don't want to call to question your promises. I will have hope. Everyone say that. I will have hope. I will have hope. Say it again. I will have hope. Jesus, we trust you. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. God, I thank you that you constantly remind us of your goodness. Thank you that you do that. You're always reminding us of who you are. bless everyone here tonight, Jesus. Bless them in their night. Bless them during the day. And Father, help us trust you when you are urging us. Jesus, I also ask you, help us, Father, to be that urgency in others. Help us to be the godly voice for others that we may see behind a door. God, ultimately, we know that that's you, Jesus, but use us for that. Use us to talk to people and to help pull them out of rooms. Rooms that you have demolished, that you took care of already, but we've trapped ourselves in anyway. God, help us to be that voice. And God, when we do, may it be your words through us. May it be your actions through us. May it be your tone of voice through us. May it be your eyes through our eyes, Jesus. We trust you and we have hope. We want and we are expectant. We have hope.